I'm wondering who it might be to replace Caleb McGarry if he needs to miss time. That's two nights in a row, Oren. I hit you with one of those.
Look at that.
We're on a roll here. Unfortunately, the Atlanta Falcons may not be on a roll with the news that Caleb McGarry was carted off the field at practice today. We're awaiting results of an MRI to discuss that and everything going on in the National Football League. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in one of our favorites, Cynthia Freeland. You catch her all over NFL Network. Cynthia, let's start here in Atlanta. Not good news when your right tackle, who is essentially your left tackle because your quarterback's a lefty, gets carted off in practice. In your opinion, how big of a blow would that be if they lose him for a significant period of time?
Well, you know I'm a big O-line person, so I'm never going to say that it's going to be okay. I will say that at least before the 53 is set, you know, if there was a time for this to happen, like, let's have it happen before you have to get to 53. Like, if something bad does happen so that you at least have a chance to figure something out, it's never good. You know, it's never good.
Are you in the camp of Michael Penix Jr. is going to be a stud star right away, or do you think it's going to take some time for him to develop with only three starts under his belt?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like right away is such a, like, it's a mean thing to do to a young man that did nothing but, like, surpass expectations when he did start last season. I love that people are so excited to be like, he's going to pick up right where he left off. It's going to be no problem. Everything's going to be great. This is the NFL. It is hard. It's never easy. I know that the Falcons were in contention right till the end. However, it's always, you know, it almost felt like you were playing with house money. And in this case, now you're the starter. Things are designed for you. You lose a big part, potentially, of your offensive line. And even though you still have Bijan, even though you still have all these great other pieces, it could probably take a minute for everything to come together. Like, I expect the team to be fully, you know, October, we'll start to see who they really are. I think September will be still kind of experimenting, getting to feel it all out and adjusting to NFL speed. Let's be nice to him. Let's not force him to be, you know, the league MVP from week one.
All right, Atlanta, you hear that? Let's be nice to Michael Penix Jr.
I know it's like I'm like a boring person saying that, but it, you know, I just like let him have a moment to adjust. The speed is way different.
Yeah, I mean, no, listen, Cynthia, here it's full go, full send on Michael Penix Jr. So we're holding out hope. Another guy that we're holding out hope for, what do you think? A full season with Penix throwing him the ball, can this finally be the year Kyle Pitts gets back to what we saw as a rookie?
I think it's just such a funny question. But Kyle Pitts' value will never be what fantasy football players want or expected it to be coming out of college, whenever like, this is the second coming of whatever. You know, like, I think that Kyle Pitts' value to the team will be there. And you know, there's also things called blocking. Hey, that helps. You know, not great for your fantasy team, but it's really great for your actual team. So while I don't necessarily see Kyle Pitts lighting up the fantasy scoreboards from that stat line perspective, I do think his value will be even greater this season, not just with Penix, but also, you know, having a little bit more, like, you know, the same sort of system, same sort of, you know, Penix is a different style quarterback than Kirk Cousins was. So it's just a different, you know, the game plan will be different. Now he's fully integrated in it from the install, from the standpoint of this is how we're going to do things. I think that it will look a lot better, even if the fantasy football fans are going to get mad.
Yeah, and I think that's just been the tough pill to swallow. Like, if you're going to draft him in the eighth round as a flyer, that's your own fault. Buyer beware. Speaking of replicating performances, without Tristan Wirfs, can Baker Mayfield do what he did last year, this year?
I mean, let's also say without Liam Cohen, and I understand this will now be his second offensive coordinator, and he's had many different stops along the way in his NFL journey, so it'll be different. But, you know, Josh Bazard comes from Miami, where they played a totally different style, and he was there even like Adam Gase days. Like, he just has a different style. Well, now, I think Baker can do great in large part because Bucky Irving's really good. And also, you know, pretty darn good receiving core that they've got there, especially with the addition they were able to make of Emeka Egbuka in the draft, which, you know, that sounds pretty good. I'd like to throw to those guys if I were a quarterback. But I think it might look a little bit different. I think the principles might be a bit, they have to figure out how that rhythm and flow changes. I'm never going to tell you that losing a big part of your offensive line is going to make your team better. It just, it won't. Fact, full stop. But I do think that the opportunity to have that kind of like wide receiving core maybe gets underestimated by the national media.
Are you, speaking of the national media, are you buying all this Jackson Dart hype?
I mean, it's fun, I guess. I don't know. Like, look at their schedule. It's a total freaking nightmare. Like, I look at that schedule, I'm like, you're a fourth place team. That is the meanest schedule I've ever seen. They have a whole stretch of 2 months, essentially 2 months from the middle of October to the middle of December, where the Giants have exactly two home games, one against the Eagles and the other against the Niners. That's going to be hard no matter who. So I think we do see him play because I think their schedule is going to dictate that some changes will likely need to be made. It's just such a hard schedule that I just think we see that happen. But I don't think, you know, I hope he's good. I actually want most teams to be good. Right? Like, I want every team to be good. I want most games to be like, wow, like it's a nail biter. Like, the more better games we get, the better we are as fans.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, we get one week, you know, every single Sunday at 4:10, it's, you know, Jags Titans, and we all just collectively yawn. And if there's the less of those, the better, to your point. Speaking of the Niners, are you expecting a full bounce back season from them?
You know, I was. And I do think that they end up with a double digit win total at the end of the season. However, I was there for, I'm doing sideline with the Broncos this preseason, and I got a chance to see them firsthand. They're just so banged up. I don't know if they're going to be able to roster the team that they're expecting. I expect them to be good. And Christian McCaffrey looks good. You know, all these things, Fred Warner will be back. Exactly. You know, a lot of the, it's always better when the good players are playing. However, you know, you keep seeing like, is Juwan Jennings okay? I don't know. Like, it's going to be a lot of Ricky Pearsall. Is that going to be enough? And even though they get an easier schedule, relatively speaking, especially because, you know, again, they get the fourth place schedule in the West, like that's very advantageous for them. It's going to be a slog if their injuries don't get even a little bit, but they're a little broken, like injury wise.
Speaking of injuries, are you buying Stafford to stay upright?
I want to. I think Matthew Stafford is the most underrated NFL quarterback, maybe of all time. Like, I feel like for a guy who went number one and then like had to be behind maybe the worst O-line in football at the Lions and then finally got a chance to have, it's a good story. But even though he won a Super Bowl, it's like people don't like talk about him among the best. And I think that's totally wrong. I think Matthew Stafford is tough. I think I've watched him play with a broken collar, but like crazy stuff. However, this feels like something that's a little more serious than maybe maybe Sean McVay's being hopeful. I don't think he's lying to us, but like hopeful because, you know, I don't know about anything to do with your spine and discs and backs when you've been hit as much as him and you're not the youngest quarterback out there makes me a little fearful for sure.
Talking all things NFL with our good friend Cynthia Freeland. Make sure you check her out all over NFL Network. Who do you think wins the quarterback swap of the offseason, Geno Smith with the Raiders or Sam Darnold in Seattle?
Like, okay, so the win number to me, is it wins more games or has a more interesting offense? Because unfortunately, Geno Smith cannot fix the Raiders secondary. And as much as he can throw, and I think that's a great fit, I actually think their offense, you know, I keep talking about fantasy because I've been doing a lot of prep for Fantasy Live. That's going to be a high-octane offense. You're going to want lots of pieces of it. I think they have a lot of fun things going on there. I think Chip Kelly's going to mastermind that really well. However, I think that the Seahawks will win significantly more games. And I don't think Sam's going to be bad. I just don't think it's going to be it's not going to be like last year where we're like, holy crap, Sam Darnold, like he's worth a giant contract. I think he's going to be pretty good, like good enough. Like, I don't think he doesn't need to blow the socks off of anyone, but I think he's going to perform to a pretty good. And that's, I don't think that's being mean. I think that's being very fair.
Ashton Jeanty, top 10 running back in fantasy?
Oh yeah. I mean, 8, 7, like I'm not going to put him in the top 5, but he's definitely, you know, somewhere between 6 and 10.
Are you in the camp that Saquon Barkley is going to have his workload reduced enough to the point where Bijan Robinson should go number one?
I did think that until this Caleb McGarry situation. Now, there's a way of thinking about it where you could think maybe more passes go to him or shorter pass, maybe. I do think Saquon's pure, you know, workload will be, he played like a ridiculous amount of snaps, like 330 or something like that snaps last season. It just feels like if you're in a division where, like, if you're winning games now, you know, why would you not? They added to the running back position this offseason. Why would you not be a little smarter about that? Because this team seems very well poised to make a deep playoff run again. So let's be smart about it. Like, I get it. 2,000 yards, it's fun. We got it. You know, you want to break records. But I also think there's something to be said for, you know, luck about injuries going into the playoffs is not something to mess with. Like, you go out there and you roll the dice enough, you're, you know, something not advantageous is going to happen.
How much are you a believer or not in the struggles that we've seen from the Bengals, particularly on defense, is going to translate to the regular season?
I do not think that they're in a good spot. They already gave up 25.5 points per game last season. They fired Lou Anarumo, who it wasn't Lou's fault. You know, you don't give any resources to that side of the ball, and you expect people to perform. And then you have with the Trey Hendrickson situation, the man led the league in sacks last season. He was your defense. I love Shamar Stewart. He was a great pick in the draft, but you mean to tell me that you're going to put that much on a rookie without help? Like, it just feels like it's messy. I hope it gets done. Like I said, I want to see more of the good players on the field and people being able to play. But I mean, this offense is great. How much more are you going to ask Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase to have to do? They connected on 17 touchdowns last season. Like, how, like, I'm sorry. What else could they, how much more do they have to do?
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. So how do you think that division shakes out? Is it Lamar and company of full steam ahead of Pittsburgh and Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think the Ravens are in great striking distance. In fact, you know, I really think that this could be a season where, you know, we always talk about Lamar Jackson, playoffs. Lamar, you know, there's always a question mark there. If they can get some of these wins, starting with this first one in Buffalo week one, that could change the cadence of a lot of things this season. Because if you close your eyes and you really think about the AFC teams, I know we're all very NFC centric. If you're a Falcons fan, you think about the NFC a lot, but think about the AFC. Like, it, if you look at the schedules, it's not a ton of teams that are real. Like, you're like, who are Super Bowl contenders? It's like Chiefs, of course, the Bills, of course, the Ravens, of course, maybe the Broncos. And then you're a little miffed after that. So perhaps this is the season where we see, you know, Lamar Jackson take that playoff step forward.
Before I let you go, are you a believer in a Travis Kelce comeback season?
Again, what's comeback? Like, I don't want Travis Kelce to have to catch the type of touchdowns and passes that he had to in seasons past. I want them to have, like, some of these younger players who they're asking, you know, they're developing and they're asking a lot of to help out. Like, I want the run game to be better so I don't see Patrick Mahomes get clobbered. I want, you know, I want a few things where it's, like, I want Travis Kelce to, I don't think he was bad last season. So to me, the comeback is like, for fantasy, I don't care. Like, I just want him to be out there and healthy. And if it's a block, you know what? That's just as valuable for that team as, again, not for your fantasy team, but just very valuable for that team as opposed to, you know, looking fancy for everything else.
Well, with that said, a little bonus question there. What about Mahomes? He obviously didn't have the gaudy stats last year, but they made it to another Super Bowl.
I think this is a Mahomes bounce back from a, you know, his stat line point of view. I think, you know, we've seen there's always every season, if you go back since the beginning of the Mahomes era, you have some weird stat. Like, 2 years ago, it was like they were often in these, like, 3rd and 17, and they were far more efficient on, like, 3rd and long than they were on 3rd and short, which is hilarious. Like, just it's a weird thing that happens. You always get a weird Mahomes stat, and then the next season, it's always another weird Mahomes stat. And last season, it was the passing yards in those close one-possession games, things like that. This year, I think that they, you know, figure out the pass game a little bit differently so that they can hopefully run to end the game, like the way Andy Reid rather want to play football, given his history, what we know about him, and the way all coaches always want to do it like that.
Cynthia, appreciate it. As always, we'll be checking you out on NFL Network. As always, we'll chat soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You guys have a great one.
All right, that is Cynthia Freeland there of NFL Network. When we get back, you guys know Eastlake starts tomorrow? You guys ready? We'll be there. Dukes and Bell will be there. Andy and Randy will be there. One of the best in the golf biz, Bob Herrig, stopped by Dukes and Bell. You'll hear that conversation coming up next. A full Eastlake primer on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.